Or tonight, the Kings tip off the home season against the Warriors. Sweaty Gleason and Kyle Draper. It's a huge sports week, and of course, the Kings home tonight. Kings home on Sunday. Homecoming night for Sac State football, Saturday versus Idaho State, kickoff at 6 p.m. Come early, enjoy the festivities, get your tickets at hornetsports.com. And we have the matter of, speaking of Bengals, the 49ers and the Bengals on Sunday. So what's the latest there? Let's find out. Nice enough to join us, Sactown Sports 49er Insider, brought to you by Timber Creek Golf Course. Visit timbercreekgolfcourse.com to book your tee time today. It's Emil Fragoso. Emil, how are you, and how is Brock Purdy?
I am doing good, and Brock Purdy seems to be on the right track, Whitey, and that's the key here, is that Brock Purdy practiced in full today, second day in a row that has happened, and he looks on track. If he can clear the final hurdle tomorrow to play week 8.
That's huge news, obviously, for the 49ers and their fan base. Emil, obviously a big game this weekend against the Bengals. What's the sense, what's the vibe around this Niners team after losing two in a row? Are guys a little on edge? Do they understand the importance of this week? What can you tell us?
You know, this week, it really comes down to execution for them. And they all the defensive players, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, all the stars are saying the same thing. We have the right guys in place to keep winning these games. We're still the same team we were 2 weeks ago. We beat the Dallas Cowboys in week 5. We just have to execute on the field, not just in practice, but also on game day. That's what it comes down to. And if they execute and play 49ers football week 8 against the Cincinnati Bengals, it's going to happen again. They'll come out with the victory. But again, looking back 2 weeks, you would think the away games against the Browns and the Vikings were easier matchups than the Bengals. Obviously, last year they lost week 6 and 7 as well. So it kind of comes in some familiar territory of, can we go into this bye week not on a loss but on a win? Because just as momentum, it's just better for them going in the long term.
Emil, how unhappy is Kyle Shanahan right now with Steve Wilks and the 49ers defense?
I figured you'd ask me this, Whitey. You know, it was a really honest week, and I was there yesterday to catch Steve Wilks' presser. And, you know, I've never seen a defensive coordinator take full accountability the way that he did. And it was a really honest admission. You know, I messed up. I got to do a better job to put guys in position. I have to do a better job of game planning and play calling, which is very odd to hear from such a veteran and seasoned coordinator like Steve Wilks, you know, a guy who was the interim head coach for Carolina last year. A lot of accountability. And we even asked Chris Forster, the offensive run game coordinator, about, do you like that Kyle kind of put you guys under the fire? And he goes, I have no problem with it, because at the end of the day, we weren't playing up to our standards. And that goes across the board. So this Niners team is built on perfection. They're built on succeeding each and every week because they know that they are Super Bowl contending talent on this team. And so when they don't live up to that standard, they're okay to get criticized. And that was what was really telling about this week, is that they were honest, upfront about it, and they go, this cannot happen again. We cannot do this again. We have to fix this going forward.
Emil, when you look at this Niners team going into the season, obviously the run game was a strength, so we thought, and the defensive line was a strength as well. What's been more surprising to you these last couple of weeks, the lack of a pass rush or the lack of a run game?
You know, it's really been a lack of a pass rush, because you look at this team, right? This is a team that was first and second the last 2 years in run defense and as well as getting after the quarterback. That's their bread and butter, is they play from the front to the back, because how talented they are up front can cover up the mistakes of the secondary. The secondary has never been their strength. It's always been the pass rush. And so right now they're not getting home, and because of that, the secondary is getting exposed. The pass rush, guys like Nick Bosa, who they pay record-setting money to, they have to step up. This time last year, he had 7 sacks. Right now, he has 3.5. He's not playing to his standard. He's not playing to his paycheck. He knows that. He has to step up. And same thing with the rest of the defense. How do you add Javon Hargrave from Philadelphia Eagles and your run defense gets worse? That's honestly my biggest question with this team. And that's where they're at. They're number 25 in run defense right now. It's the team that was number 2 last year under D'Amico Ryans. And there's a lot of adjustment to Steve Wilks. And it kind of comes with the territory of learning your personnel and stuff. But this is a team that's so talented, they kind of have to overcome that. And it seems like they were the first 5 weeks. But yet here we are now going into week 8, and we don't know what we're going to get with this team.
Catching up with Emil Fragoso, of course, our Sactown Sports 49er insider. So, Emil, how about the trade front? You think the 49ers potentially have anything percolating, as Stephen A. would say, is anything percolating on the trade front for the Niners?
You know, it wouldn't be a 49ers trade deadline without a little bit of drama. White righty, right, right, Drapes. honestly.
This
team, and I don't know if you saw the clips coming out from week seven before week seven's game. John Lynch, general manager of the Niners, is walking around with Kwesi Adelpamensa, the Vikings executive, their general manager, for 20 minutes on the field. Maybe that's just friendly banter between old colleagues. Maybe they're trying to cook up some trades. You never know. Kyle even said it this week and go, we are looking into adding the right player at the right price, but it can't hurt our team. So how do we do that? We have to add the right player. And it isn't just up front with the pass rush or the run defense. It's everywhere, both offense and defense. If they can swing the right deal, they will. But again, you saw last year with the Christian McCaffrey trade. They are willing to take the big risk, but again, at the right price.
Emil, I was going to ask you because, you know, Whitey and I talked about this. It might have been earlier this week or last week. I thought the Niners needed to beef up their wide receiving depth, especially with Debo down. What do you think about that? Do they need to go out there and make a move? And I'm not talking about go get a Davante Adams or no big name like that, but I feel like they need to improve that, especially with Debo banged up.
Usually I would say yes to this, but the Niners, I think, have very good receiving corps in their practice squad. We forget the guy like Willie Snead is still there. Chris Conley's still there. These veteran wideouts that can catch some passes and have over their NFL tenure. And so while it would be nice to probably add another, you know, more, I guess, trendy player right now, because that's kind of what the Niners do. They add all these big names, right? They don't want to sign a guy just to have him on a short-year rental, especially when they have these other guys who have been in the system for a year or two on the practice squad. And that helps because they need to be so successful in the run defense, because not every wide receiver, depending on how talented they are, wants to block the run. Whereas with the practice squad guys they have, they're very willing and adapt to it. That's why I don't think they'll add another wide receiver. I think they'll kind of stick where they're at. And because Debo Samuel is not on IR right now, and because he was out there Thursday doing sprints, I think it's a very good chance that he does come back after the bye.
Emil, at the risk of oversimplifying here, the Vikings sold out to stop the run, ended up winning the game. Is that an approach we're going to see more of from opposing teams here until Brock Purdy can show that you can't do that to him?
I think there definitely is a blueprint for success against the Niners offense right now, especially with left tackle Trent Williams probably not playing this week, not going to play until after the bye. And so it's going to be put the pressure on Brock, make him work, make him earn all these yards out there. And if the offensive line of the 49ers does not win in the trenches, they're kind of in no man's land, because the whole point of this offense is a run-first offense that sets the pass and the play action. They use their run game to set up everything else in their offense. Without it, they're kind of struggle to move the chains. If they get behind the ball on first down, they struggle on second and third down. It's a team that likes to stay with the chain. So how do they stop that? They just have to be more physical and set the edge, both on offense and defense. The key here is setting the edge for them.
What can you tell us about Cincinnati? They seem to be rounding into shape, I guess. They've won their last two, but I look at the numbers. Joe Burrow last week against Seattle, only 185 yards passing, two touchdowns, one interception. Where are the Bengals at in trying to figure this out this season?
Well, they're in a similar spot, actually, to the Browns going into their week six game with the Niners, because they're coming off a bye week in week seven, the Bengals are. You know, they played Seattle in week six and got through it and stuff, and Burrow looked, I guess, kind of decent, but not to the level of Joe Burrow and, you know, a guy that took that team to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So is he going to be the Joe Burrow of old, or is he going to be the Joe Burrow this year where he's kind of hobbling around his calf? The signs point to the former, him getting back to being what he used to be. But then again, the offensive line has not done him any wonders, and Orlando Brown is kind of questionable going into this weekend as well. So maybe this is the right kind of catch the Bengals as well. But then again, you have to see with the Niners team right now what you're going to get, because you really don't know if you're going to get the team from the first 5 weeks or the team from the last 2 weeks, and that could be the trouble here.
Emil Fragoso, brought to you by Timber Creek Golf Course. Book your tee time today, timbercreekgolfcourse.com. Thanks, Emil. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, my
all
man.
Right. You stumped him a couple times there, Drapes. You get the question. Emil's like,
right, the side, the pause, and everything. I was like, dude, this isn't a final quiz or anything. You know, this isn't a dissertation or any test you got to take.
It's tough question.
Hey, man, I put him under the fire, man.
By the way, you just noticed I have your.
I was looking for that. I was like, because they brought the media one, and I was like, all right, I'll put it with my other one. And I'm like, uh oh. You got it right there.
Hey, I got your credential.
That's the key to the season right there.
Very nice.
That'll get me in anywhere.
I need a seat. I'm a little desperate here.
That's the guy to talk to, the guy that just handed you their credential. Michael, he's the guy that puts down the seats. Oh, man, you should have.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Oh, we're taking a quick timeout. When we come back, more on the sights and sounds here from opening night in Sacramento. We got, you know, Bay Area media, Sacramento media, celebrities running all over the place. We'll see if we can't track any of them down. Also got to catch up on the latest on James Harden. So that and more still to come here from the Golden One Center to Drive Guys College, Draper, Whitey Gleason, Sactown Sports. More respect around here since I started wearing Kyle Draper's media pass. So
they didn't kick you out yet? They're like, hey, where'd you get that from?
Coming to you from the Golden One, of course. Golden One Center on opening night, Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, and a very special guest, longtime Sacramento Kings broadcaster, doing a great job with the Warriors for many years. One of the just most esteemed citizens in Fairfield history.
Jeez.
Yeah, the great Tim Roy is here. Hi, Tim.
What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Yeah, great to see you here opening night. Can you believe it? I mean, you were here, you know, the early days of Sacramento. Every time I come in here, I've mentioned this like three times. I just marvel given how close the Kings came to leaving, given the old barns they played in. This place is incredible.
It really is. It really is wonderful. And I really believe that the Northern California has the two best in the league now. You know, between Chase Center and here, these are great buildings. The fan experience went up for both fan bases, you know, exponentially. And what's you know, to kind of cement with that is the fact that finally the two teams are good at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's never happened.
Right.
And you know, my time here in Sacramento, the Warriors had run TMC. And then I left, and could it be cause and effect, but I left, and then all of a sudden the Weber era started a few years after that. And, you know, so, but, you know, it's really good. I thought last year and the fact that it went seven games, I thought it was great for basketball in Northern California. It's just great. I mean, anytime you can go and do a playoff series and not get on an airplane, I'm all in for that.
Tim, would you consider this a rivalry now? Because there's a lot of talk about that. I feel, you know, there's definitely a rivalry between the fan bases because of the proximity and the history now, the playoff series. What would you say about that?
I would say so. I think it's you know, the Warriors have had some teams that they played against, you know, the Rockets and the Clippers, where it was a rivalry and not exactly a cordial one. This is more of a cordial rivalry because of the connections between the two franchises and the you know, the employees who have worked, you know, for both. But you know, all it takes is another hard-fought playoff series, and that could change a little bit, too. But I think there's a lot of respect between the two, and I think it is a rivalry. I think anytime you have a team that's, you know, 90 minutes away and you play them in the playoffs, I think that gets things going.
Tim Roy, our guest here opening night from the Golden One Center. In what ways do you see what Mike Brown has done with the Kings? What ways is it similar to things that the Warriors have done for years?
I think it's more the tone and the culture and trying to you know, remember that this is basketball. It should be fun, you know, and I think that's part of it. I think it really showed how great a coach Mike is by him looking at what he had on the roster and not trying to turn that into something that he wanted, or maybe you know, another team would want. Maybe, you know, he probably would like to play a little bit more about like the Warriors in certain moments, but he takes what he has and he exploited that. And look what happened. Best offense ever. You got De'Aaron Fox as a star in this league. Sabonis had a great year. Monk had a great postseason. You know, so I think it's really great. I'm so happy to see him succeed because he works his tail off and he's just one of the great guys around the NBA.
Tim, when you look at the current state of the Warriors, obviously they made some changes in the offseason. Mike Dunleavy Jr. Taking over as the president of basketball operations. Jordan Poole getting shipped out. You bring in Chris Paul. With all that being said, the nucleus is still there, right? The heart and soul is still there. So even with all the changes, how do you see this year's Warriors team?
I really like it in this sense. I think it's deeper than last year, and I think the pieces fit together. I think you have Dario Saric, who comes over. I mean, he's just seamless with what the Warriors love to do. He gets the ball at the top, looks to screen, or if he's wide open, he takes a shot, tries to facilitate for other guys. Chris Paul is trying to fit in as well as he can. His style is not exactly the Warriors style, but you know, the cold hard fact was that the last few years when Curry would go off the floor, when Steph goes off the floor, those minutes got dicey. And so, and we even saw it the other night in the opening night for the Warriors. Steph picked up his fifth foul, bang, 8-0 run, tie game, now you got to call a timeout. And so they need to find a way to keep those non-Curry minutes productive, and I think that's one of the reasons Chris Paul came over. And also, because of the new rules of the salary cap, they had to get off that long-term money.
Catching up with Tim Roy, a longtime Kings voice, currently the outstanding play-by-play radio voice of the Warriors here, opening night. Tim, when the Warriors first picked up Chris Paul, I said, that's tremendous because he does not turn the ball over. But as you said, there are stylistic differences. Are we primarily talking about how he plays at a more deliberate pace? Is that the biggest difference?
Yes, and I think at times that could be really good for the Warriors because they get into trouble sometimes when, you know, you see the ball flying around and even the other night, you know, there's a couple of passes. The guy makes a good catch, but he's on the sideline. He's not in the game, okay? You know, you got to cut those down, you know what I mean? So, I think he'll help calm things down a little bit, and I think they'll run more pick and roll than they have. You have to. You got Chris Paul. You got to run some pick and roll with him. And so, it's all, I think, in the first 20 games, that's when you really figure out, you know, just what kind of team, you know, you're looking at, and I think that's the case. You know, and the other thing is we haven't seen Chris Paul play with Draymond yet. Mm-hmm. So there's still a lot of questions around this team, but I think it'll all filter out in the end because – they've got a lot of very good, unselfish professionals.
Right. What do they need from Kuminga and Moody this year, do you think?
I think that the most important thing when you have a young player is trust, I think. So to be able to throw them out there and gobble up some minutes to give your older guys some time away, but also knowing that they're going to know the details of that night. Who are you playing? Who are you guarding? Do you go over the screen on that guy or under the screen on that guy? You know, which guy do we have to, you know, keep our eyes out for your help? That kind of thing. So I think that's going to be the most important thing is those guys developing that trust so that they can stay on the floor longer. And I think part of that comes with maturity. You know, they know the league a little bit better now. They know, you know, that it's a long season. You know, they don't have to be told, hey, we got 60 more games, you know, which is always a shock to a college kid his first year. So I think that the maturity part will bring some of that along. And if Steve Kerr feels he can throw them out there, I think, at any time and feel comfortable with that, then everything else will fall into place for them.
Tim, what did your team do to Kevin Huerter? Because he hasn't been the same since that playoff.
I don't know. Some sort of curse, you know, could be I don't know, the curse of who knows. You could go back. Maybe we'll give it to Henry Turner. We'll give Hank the curse. I don't know. But you know, it's one of those things, you know, and we see it all the time. You know, there are guys, I'm sure, when they come into this building, you go, oh, no, he always lights us up.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe this is one team that Kevin just can't get it going. Now, that said, he's kind of like, you know, he's kind of like he's not Klay Thompson, but he's kind of like that, where it just takes one. It takes one. He sees one go through the hoop, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, and the next four are going through the hoop. So,
is the dynasty over? Has the window closed?
Well, if Duck Dynasty is still on TV, so no.
I did not think he'd go there.
I think they still have a run or two in him. I really do. And it's crazy to think that way, but you know, we see it all around the league. You know, LeBron had a great game last night. You know, I mean, he's gonna be getting a Social Security letter here in a couple of years. You know what I mean? I mean, guys are keeping themselves in better shape. Steph is as strong as he's ever been, and so I think they can go a few more years. And go back to your question about Moody and Kuminga,
yeah.
As they rise, maybe they kind of fill in the gap
right.
As the other players come down. So that's always a possibility. And so I think they have a couple more runs in them, and I think, you know, this year they're primed to do that. It's a hard journey, but once you've made it a couple times, players yearn for that, and they've worked really hard for that.
I think, Tim, when in future generations they look back on the Warriors' run, and maybe they will add more, but of what they have now, the championships. The most recent one to me is the one that really stands out, right? It's like, wow, how did they do that a couple years ago? That was really incredible.
It really was, and I remember reading all the pre-final, you know, stuff, and everybody was picking Boston. Not everybody, but, you know, a lot of people were picking Boston. And Boston was playing
Boston
great.
Guy right here.
Yeah, well, hey, I grew up in New England.
Okay. Oh, you're a New Englander. Okay.
My first NBA game was at the old Boston Garden.
Okay.
And Connie Hawkins dunked on Dave Cowens. And that made me fall in love with the NBA. I went, holy moly. I had never seen a guy fly like that. Okay. And it was a Thursday afternoon game. They used to have winter break because the schools wanted to save money on heating oil. And so they would give you the week off.
Oh, wow.
And because, well, as you know, the Bruins control the building.
Yes.
That's their building. Those seats are yellow and
yeah,
black.
Yeah, that hasn't changed. Yep.
And so the Bruins had a game that night and said, well, if you want to play a game today, you got to play it in the afternoon. So they had an afternoon matinee, and my brother, who was in college at the time, drove us up, and we got on the tee at the last stop on the green line, took it in, and went and saw that game, and I just went, wow, that was really cool. And so I've been in love with the NBA ever since. But yeah, it's, you know, everybody's picking Boston that year, and for the most part. And I just thought, you know what? I don't know. I just we were playing sneakily, getting better and better as the postseason went on. And then Wiggins just had a great finals.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so good defensively in that finals; it was ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. The great Tim Roy. Thank you very much for coming by. We appreciate it. Happy opening night here in Sacramento.
Let me ask, how was that history of the Kings night the other night?
The history of the Kings night?
Didn't they have it? The Sacramento Historical Society had one?
I miss that.
Oh, okay.
Dude, I'm in the suburbs. I miss everything in the city. It's killing me.
I got to ask you a question, though, about Kings history, and his eyes are going to roll back in his head. You look at the retired numbers here. Do you know there's only one guy in the top 75, the 75th anniversary team, who is not still playing, who doesn't have his number retired by any teams? Jerry Lucas should get his number retired from this by this
franchise.
Are you with me?
I am with you. I'm absolutely with you. You know, he is not only was he a great rebounder, he was a scorer, and he and Oscar were a great tandem with the Cincinnati Royals. They were really, really good. And he's also the guy, if you don't know, he had the
Mr.
most
memory. Right?
He memorized the New York phone book.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
He should be retired just for that, right?
Just for that, exactly.
That number retired.
Wasn't he on Johnny Carson, and then Johnny Carson would ask him something. He'd have everybody's numbers just by their name or something, yeah.
So I'll give you one little quick Kings thing from my memory. First year I came here, 1989, we had training camp in Hawaii playing the Lakers, okay. Two games over in Hawaii. So we had practice at a high school gym, and I'm trying to introduce myself. I just come over from Phoenix, and I'm trying to talk to everybody. I go to say hi to Juwan Oldham, who was one of the three centers on the roster that year. Mm. And he was reading a book, swear to God, on how to fly a helicopter.
What?
Yes. I said, oh, this may not work out.
Right. He tried to teach himself on the fly. Huh?
Have you ever heard the Juwan Oldham shower story? Jerry Reynolds told me the story that there was Bill Russell, I guess, was giving them a speech, and a good one, you know, after they lost. And Russ is giving it, and Jerry says, it's a really good speech. And in the middle of it, Juwan Oldham gets up and walks into the shower with his uniform on.
So Bill Russell was head of operations when I got here. Okay, so I'm bugging Julie Fye, who was the PR lady of the Kings then. I got to get Bill on the air. I'm doing a talk show, and I'm doing helping Gary Gerald do the broadcast, and I've got to get him on there. So finally, okay, Bill's going to come on your show next Wednesday. Great. Promoting. Got fired on Monday.
Oh.
So, no.
Ouch. You couldn't have fired him Thursday.
Right, just wait.
Thank you, Tim.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks,
yeah, Jeff. We appreciate it. We got more from opening night at the Golden 1 Center. Coming up, tell you why tonight is just so important for the Kings when we come right back. Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Sactown Sports. Oh, yeah. It's opening night from the Golden 1 Center. Life is good. I got a seat. I don't know how. Out of Michael Martinez, or I don't know if you pulled some strings.
Yeah, I texted a few people for you. I took care of
set.
You know what it was? That ID you're wearing right now, that badge? They were like, oh, okay, right this way.
Yeah. Opened a lot of doors for me. Yeah. Homecoming night. Want to remind you, Sacramento State football tomorrow versus Idaho State. Kickoff 6 p.m. Come early. Enjoy the festivities. Get your tickets at hornetsports.com. That's going to be special. It's already special here tonight, and we're going to have a lot of festivities. It's a festive night. I mean, you wouldn't have to do anything. And the Kings, of course, as they do so well, they got a lot of things planned, as you know. You could just have these guys come out and play basketball, and people would go nuts.
Yeah,
for that.
Exactly. They could play some pickup right now.
Yes.
It would go crazy. And it is interesting, though, because as I look around, I see the extra media seating that they got behind us here, too. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a big game, not just locally, but nationally as well.
Why do you think, ask Chris Mannix this, why do you think this Kings-Warriors thing is so big nationally? Why do you think people nationally are paying attention to this match?
I think style of play has a lot to do with it. These are two of the, you know, most fun teams to watch, two of the league pass must, if you will, you know. And then you have, like I said earlier, a young team in Sacramento that plays an exciting style of basketball. They're the young, hungry new guys trying to come up. And the Warriors are the old guard still trying to hang on. And then you throw in the proximity as well. And then that epic seven-game series where Steph Curry dropped 50 in game seven. You throw in a Draymond stomp. I mean, all of that adds to it. And this is what basketball needed at this time, because I feel like rivalry sort of just, you know, went by the wayside a little bit. There wasn't as much hatred, you know, between players and fan bases anymore. And this has sort of renewed that. Like, there's an obvious, you know, I don't want to say hatred, but an obvious, you know, want to beat the other team. And we saw it last week in that preseason game down in Chase. Like, that was a regular season playoff kind of game, and it was just the preseason.
Do you have any big brothers?
I used to.
Okay.
He passed away.
I apologize.
Yeah, it's all good.
But my point is, I have big brothers, and sometimes, you know, you get tired of having your big brother push you around all the time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of the elements of this if you're the Kings.
And
right?
Yeah, for sure. And that's why you need to win tonight, because you get tired of it, and sometimes you got to fight back. And hopefully sometimes you actually get in a punch or two there. Like, you know, you sneak one in. And so that's why I think the Kings need this win tonight, man, because they got to feel tired of being punched around by the Warriors. I know it was a seven-game series last season, Whitey, but the Kings were up 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Golden State won four out of the final five. They won two in the preseason.
Again, I recall.
I hate to remind Kings fans, but you know what? There's a reason why this game is so important, and it's not just because of that the proximity. Like, this game is important because the Warriors have beaten us. It's time to shut their fan base up. It's time to put Steph Curry to sleep. Night-night to him. We got to get it done tonight. I'm fired up, man. You got me fired
up. If you're De'Aaron Fox.
Seriously, man.
There's 10 seconds left, and the Kings have the game won. Are you giving Steph anything? Are you going to give him back his night-night? Are you going to?
I don't know, because Steph gave him
We are lighting the beam.
He gave him his signature shoe now. I don't know if you can do that now, right? You know what I mean, right?
Gee, like, I wonder what the problem with rivalry
right?
is.
Exactly. These guys are business partners now, but I would give him the little bye-bye signal or something like that. You got to do something, De'Aaron.
That, by the
way,
was the greatest ever when Dame hit that shot,
right,
knock OKC out.
And just said bye.
Bye to Russ.
One
that
of the iconic shots in NBA history. And that's one of those things you can't say nothing back, right? And so, you know, I did watch that interview between Fox and Curry on ESPN. They ran it. And De'Aaron, you know, he said, you know, I'm trying to go at this guy. I'm trying to school him. I'm trying to beat him. And so I want to see that kind of fervor out here tonight.
We touched on this earlier, but I think another reason why this is really – honestly, a big game for the Kings. Take away the noise and the trappings of opening night and the rivalry. It's a big game because I think if you're Mike Brown, you look at this team, and normally you don't have games this important this early in the year, but this is a good point at which to see how good is my team. Have they absorbed the lessons of the preseason? Can they be more physical defensively? Because you have to be tonight. So it's a very big game, not only because you want to beat the Warriors,
right,
but because it's a big game to show how far along you are since you played them last year, because you're hoping there has to be some progress here at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, obviously I don't care what the national media says about Sacramento, but you lose this game, and then, you know, the Hollingers of the world and the Kevin O'Connors will say, see, I told you, you know, the
right.
Kings, they need this, they need that. You win this game, you send a statement to the league, to the media, to all the writers, to the Warriors, and that's why this is so important. It's crazy to think. I know it's home opener, but it's only game two of 82.
Yeah.
And we already have a massive, important game for the Sacramento Kings.
And it's also big, as we've discussed today, because, let's face it, the Warriors are a little bit vulnerable right now. No Draymond, which is one thing, and that's significant. But also with Chris Paul, they're figuring some things out. They got battered on the backboards in their opener. So I'm not saying that, oh, they're a wounded animal here. They got no chance. But they are not the team that they hope to be down the road. So you have to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and I think this is a big season for Golden State. They flamed out last year, had a horrible road record last year. And so I think they're trying to prove something this season. And so even though there's no Draymond, you know, this is sort of a big game for the Warriors as well. We were talking to Raymond Ritter, their head of PR, and you know they're starting off on a road trip now. You know, they played the home game against Phoenix. I do believe, that was at home, I believe.
Yeah,
and,
you're right.
And then now they're going on a road trip, and you don't want to be 0-2 if you're Golden State. And so I'm expecting the stars to show up. I'm expecting Steph and our guy De'Aaron to go at it. And this is a huge game, I think, for both teams.
Yeah, you know that preseason game where where Steph knocked in that bank shot.
Yeah,
I was talking to RJ about that game a little while ago, and he was saying that he asked the G-man, when did you know that the Warriors were coming back in that game? And he said, when Curry banked in that shot.
Right.
That's when I knew that it was their night. But tonight is not their night.
Tonight is not their night. And, you know, the league is supposedly cracking down on flopping. And so I wonder, is that something to pay attention to tonight? We know Chris Paul last week did a little flop action. To me, Steph Curry, every time he takes a three, he's flailing, begging for a foul, falling to the ground. You know, if I'm the officials, I'm keeping an eye on that tonight,
yes,
Whitey.
Yes. Hey, speaking of the new rules, the flop, anti-flop rule is one of them. We also have the player participation policy. What do you make of this? According to Woj, the NBA plans to investigate whether Philadelphia and James Harden are in violation of the new player participation policy because he's healthy and he didn't play last night and he's not supposed to play in their next game. What is this?
What is it? What's going on here? What's the?
They're investigating.
They're investigating. What is there to investigate? They don't want James Harden around the team. They don't want him on the trip. This has nothing to do with load management or player participation. And this is why now our team's forced to travel with malcontents. Like, are the Sixers now being forced to have James Harden on the road with them?
Yeah.
The league needs to get it together.
I'll tell you what this is, because there are rules that allow teams to sit players out for injuries, personal reasons, and rare and unusual circumstances, which clearly this is. So all this is the league is puffing up their chest to try to get fans to say, we're serious about this player participation policy. We're going to investigate James Harden. They're not going to do anything.
They're not doing it. They need to be investigating Devin Booker and Bradley Beal in Phoenix. I ain't heard no investigation on that. Have you, Whitey? Like, now that's we understand why James Harden isn't there. We understand why he's not playing. What about those other two guys? And I think the league, like you said, they're trying to puff out their chest. They realize it's a real problem for the NBA. This load management and stars taking off, nationally televised games. Shoot, look at last night, man. You know, you had no James Harden in that Sixers Milwaukee game. No Devin Booker and Brad Beal in the nightcap, and it's TNT's main night, first week of the season, and it just started.
Yeah, so the league knows that, so what are they doing? By the way, we're investigating James Harden because we're serious about this.
Leave James Harden
Toothless.
Alone. Right.
Yeah. When we come back, speaking of the NBA at large, Wemby has a lot of watchers. That and more when we come back to the Golden One Center. Opening night in Sacramento. It's the Drive Guys, Kyle Draper, Whitey Gleason, Sactown Sports.
The flagship station for the Beam Team, Sactown Sports.
Oh, what a night here in Sacramento at the Golden One Center. Getting ready for opening night for the Kings, the home opener, of course. It's interesting, Kyle. I don't mean to pile on baseball here, but, you know, the World Series starts tonight, and I don't know that there's a lot of interest, certainly around here. Nationally, I don't know that there's much interest. But I think right now this is a great opportunity for the NBA. You know, football's always going to be king. But right now it seems like baseball, at a time when people should be getting really pumped about baseball, interest is waning, and the NBA seems to be riding a surge of popularity.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, I forgot all about baseball once my Phillies lost. I was like, oh, it's still going on when you said that. But, no, think about it, though. You know, next to football, and maybe because we're in Sacramento, I don't know. But Friday night, tonight, the NBA takes center stage, I feel like, you know. And I know, you know, the World Series Game 1 is going on, and maybe it's because of the matchups.
And they used to never start on Friday, by the way.
Right, right. Friday is like an awful day
to
start the World Series, right? I would think Saturday, a Saturday night start or something like that. But, no, you're 100% right. Like, there's been very little chatter, at least, you know, around here about it. And, you know, I think, you know, from a Sacramento standpoint, the fact that we're going against Golden State, too, you know, we've been on our show. We've been dialed into that because of this huge matchup tonight.
Yeah, I know a lot of times in the media when you talk about ratings, there's some people that say, I don't care about the ratings. Who cares? But one thing that's interesting to me as somebody who's been an NBA fan for a long time, I like to see numbers that reflect the growing popularity of the league and the sport.
Right.
I like to see that. And ESPN had its most watched NBA opening night in 11 years and its second most watched opening night ever, according to Nielsen. You had the Celtics over the Knicks. A lot of people watched that. And then the nightcap with Wemby averaged nearly 3 million viewers as Dallas defeated the Spurs. And so it's great to have another, perhaps another next great one coming into the league right now as we get this new season started.
Yeah, when's the last time the Spurs have been must-watch TV, right? I mean, you know, you got to go back, obviously, to the Tim Duncan.
People didn't
team.
Even watch that team. Not,
right. That team wasn't even that sexy or anything like that. I think Victor Wembanyama, you know, he's one of those guys now where you're circling the calendar. All right, when does he make a trip to my city? You know, talking to my son yesterday, he's geeked. He wants a Wembanyama jersey now. And I
getting
we got to see when the report cards come out. Let's check them grades first, big fella, before we buy in $100-something jerseys. But, no, Wemby is, you know, one of those, and we talked about it yesterday. When's the last time we had a player, a rookie, come in that you just did not want to miss? Like LeBron, maybe?
I honestly think it might have been LeBron.
Is this bigger than Zion? Is this bigger than Zion when he came into the league?
Because Zion was, obviously a very unique player, but Wemby is a guy that you just look at him and just, I've never seen anybody like that. You know, you watch him play for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
Right, exactly. And he could do it on both ends of the floor. And, you know, there's people talking about this guy is going to be an all-star in 2 years, MVP within 5 years. And, you know, he looks tremendous on both ends of the floor. And, you know, I think what we're seeing now, too, especially with international players, these guys are playing professionally at a younger age now, you know. And so, you know, you come to the NBA, and sure, he needs some strength. He needs to bulk up a little bit. But it's clear this guy knows how to play basketball. And, you know, as far as we know, he's handled all the notoriety, all the fame extremely well.
How in the world do you guard him? And I know he's young and he's figuring some things out, and I guess you can try to get physical with him.
Yeah.
But, you know, 7'4", and he's got skills. How do you guard him, and how are they ever going to guard him when he, you know, fills out a little bit?
I think you hope he stays out on the perimeter, right? I mean, obviously he's a little thin in the frame and everything like that, but if he gets anywhere near the basket, you cannot block his shot. And so you hope he settles for jump shots. You hope he pulls up from three. I'm watching Henry Turner, high flyer. He just walked into the building. He has a black vest, it looks like, with a red shirt underneath. It looks like he is ready to do business.
Yes.
This ain't no regular regular season game for the high flyer. He comes decked out tonight. So, excuse me, I got off track right there. I was like, oh, my God.
I can see why, because he's got the strut.
He looked like Suge Knight over there, you know, like Death Row Records. He's ready to do business out here tonight. That's what kind of vibe it is in this building. Oh, man.
Try this on. In some ways, and I know Wemby has a chance to be one of the greatest players ever, but as I look at what he is and how he plays and how different it is, in some ways it reminds me of when he's at his best, Porzingis. A little bit.
I see it. I see it.
Yeah.
But Wemby with an even better handle, too, right?
No question.
Yeah. I agree. Porzingis, who had 30 the other night, his ability to – to shoot the ball from distance like that at 7, you know, 2 or whatever he is. You just don't see that growing on trees. And, no, you're 100% right about that.
Yeah. Now, how about tonight, speaking of size? I know you're not a big fan of the Kings playing two centers, but it'll be interesting to see what Mike Brown tries to do to take advantage of the fact that the Warriors are a small team.
Yeah, that's a great question. Like, do you try to punish them with two bigs? And who are those two bigs? You know, Domantas Sabonis. Who can he play against? You know, play with? We heard, obviously, Alex Len talk about, you know, them maybe experimenting with that. I'm not a fan of it, Whitey. I keep trying to envision it. And we saw Domas play with another center when he was in Indiana.
That was actually effective.
But Miles Turner can shoot the ball. He can stretch the floor. Now, if Alex Len improved his three-point shooting, JaVale McGee. And so I think you need a shooting big to pair alongside Domantas Sabonis. I'd be shocked to see it tonight for the Sacramento Kings.
So it's not that you're against the idea in general. It's just specifically
with our unit. Yeah, the guys we have right now. If they went out there and traded for Miles Turner, I could see it happening here for the Sacramento Kings.
Because you're thinking, all right, let's say you had JaVale McGee and Sabonis on the floor together. Who is Sabonis guarding, right?
Who's Sabonis guarding defensively? And then offensively, let's keep it real. Sabonis, I know the numbers suggest that he was good from three, but he doesn't take a lot of them. So you got, you know, a non-shooter in Sabonis, a non-shooter in JaVale McGee, and De'Aaron Fox hasn't proven to be a reliable three-point shooter. And so in today's NBA, you know, to maximize what De'Aaron Fox does, to maximize what Domantas Sabonis does, I think you need some space. And you bring in another big, I think it becomes easier to shrink the floor against the Kings.
It was interesting earlier when we talked to the great Gary St. Jean, and he talked about in today's NBA, there's no reason why a guard can't get four and a half rebounds a game because there's so many long rebounds. And I believe De'Aaron Fox did that last year.
Exactly. He had a tremendous season last year. Obviously, we know about him scoring the ball. You know, he also averaged better than 6 assists. You know, and you got a guy like Domantas Sabonis who averaged 7 assists last season. And so I'm pulling Fox's numbers. Yeah, 4.2 rebounds last season for De'Aaron Fox. And so, no, he does it, you know. And I think that changed sort of like when Russell Westbrook started crashing the boards as a guard. But I think it's imperative for this Kings team that the guards do rebound. That's one of the things that frustrated Domantas Sabonis last year going against the Warriors. He's wrestling with Kevon Looney. Somebody else got to help out on the boards, too. Mm-hmm. And so the guards have to help out Domantas Sabonis when it comes to rebounding.
How high is that on your list? If you're coaching the Kings tonight, you're going down everything with the team, how high is that on your list? Hey, we can't let Looney Looney is an excellent player. I love Looney. But you can't let him kill you as he did last year on the offensive glass.
You know, I would say if I'm Mike Brown, Looney probably isn't 1A on the scouting report, probably is Steph and how to defend their actions.
Sure.
But Looney should be 1A. Like, he was the difference maker in that series.
Yes.
And so, you know, I don't know if you got a game plan it. I don't know if you got to talk to Domas about it or whatever you may have to do. Looney cannot be a factor. I'm going to set the over-under. Here it is, right here, Whitey.
All right.
A bold prediction.
Yes.
The over-under.
This is your second of the day, by the way, because you're already on the board.
Oh, with Kevin Herter.
I think three threes in the first half. All right.
Yeah. Kevon Looney. Over-under rebounds, 12 and a half. If
All
he
right.
gets more than 12, the Kings lose. If he gets fewer than 12 or fewer, then the Kings win.
All right.
You're actually writing that down. Darn it. You're going to actually bring this back on Monday on me.
And Herter, three threes in the first half?
First half.
All right.
This is going to be Kevin Herter's game. I got faith in my guy. I think he's going to have a big game.
All right. Yeah. I'll leave room in case you decide to come up with some more.
All right. I thought you meant like if I decide to change
your background. No.
I'm sticking with that.
Guess what? We found some. Well, it's a national list that actually gives the Kings some love. Can you believe that? We will look at that when we come right back. The Drive Guys coming to you on opening night in Sacramento from the Golden One Center on Sactown Sports.